During the Chazon Ish, we're beginning the second chapter, page Yud Gimel in these editions. In the first chapter, we discussed the idea of Emunah, the idea that a person begins life and can spend his whole life with this recurring doubt. Does God exist? Did he give us the Torah? What does he want from me? How do I even know he's around? And that question can gnaw at a person and make all of life seem worthless and pointless. And it seems like that's the only thing that matters, the answer to that question. And then the Chazon Ish went on to spend the whole chapter discussing how one is supposed to reach clarity and how one is supposed to look at the world, to look at nature, to look at himself, to look at the phenomenal miracles that are working in conjunction all the time, our heart, our kidneys, our livers, our eyes, our fingers, our sense of touch. The more one analyzes, the more one appreciates that there's an order to the science of the world, and from there one can have an appreciation. Then the Chazon Ish went on to discuss human thought, human imagination, human emotion, and where does Emunah fit with all that? And after we discussed how one is supposed to build one's Emunah, be careful not to confuse Emunah with imagination, fantasy, desire. The Chazon Ish went through all of that. Now the Chazon Ish is up to the second chapter. We've laid the foundations. We've discussed where a person is supposed to search Emunah. Those of you who missed part of the classes, it's recommended. It's online. You can go listen. We're up to the second chapter. No, there's no room for questions. We haven't started yet. That was all review. Second chapter. Ta'ut noshenet nitazricha belev rabim b'musag bitachon. Gentlemen, listen. This is very important. There's an ancient error that has taken hostage of people's hearts. When it comes to the word bitachon, faith in Hashem, people think that they know what the word bitachon means. They are in error, and it is a terrible error. It is an error that can have lethal consequences. Shem bitachon amshamesh lemida mehulala veikarit b'fi hachasidim. The term bitachon, which is actually a praiseworthy trait, it's a basic trait. When the pious people speak about the word bitachon, nistoveva b'musag chova lehamin, has actually been adulterated to mean you must believe. Bechol mikre shepogesh adam v'ha'amidato lekrat atid bilti mukhra v'shnei drachim ba'atid. Whenever people encounter uncertainty, they look to the future and they don't know what's coming, and they have no way of anticipating what life has in store for them or what God has in store for them. Achat tova velo shnia, and they look forward and they see two possible outcomes. One is good and the other is not. Ki betach yeh tov. People think the word bitachon means have faith, it's going to be good. That's what someone wanted to hear today. Bitachon, people think, means that to be confident that the outcome we want is what's going to happen. That's a misnomer. It's a terrible misnomer, because people can convince themselves in the name of religion to do things that are dangerous and things that are stupid and things that are antithetical to Torah and say, I'm doing it in the name of bitachon. I'm confident it'll be okay. So it's Purim night and a guy has drunk a little bit too much and I tell him, you can't get behind the wheel. And he says to me, I have bitachon, everything will be okay. What does bitachon have anything to do with it? Rabbi, don't you believe in God? I believe in God. I don't believe in your ability to drive after you've drank. So he taps me on the shoulder, this big guy, and says, I have bitachon. Right? Okay. That's when you call the bitachon and you say, hold him down. Don't let him out. But you understand that the word bitachon, if misrepresented, can have very dangerous consequences. You know, you're laughing. It's not a joke. It's very dangerous. People are unwilling to let doctors operate on their children. And they say, I have bitachon. It will be okay. That's bitachon? Says the Chazon Ish. People think that if I will assume that the outcome I desire is what will be, they say, that's bitachon. And if someone says, hey, wait a second, maybe it's not such a good idea to go into Arab territory just because we'd like to go visit Kever Yosef. Maybe it's not a good idea. They look at him and say, you don't have bitachon. So a group of guys left, not this yeshiva, a different yeshiva, drunk. with water guns saying, "We're going into Arab territory." Sounds funny, right? They walked into East Jerusalem and started shooting Arabs with their water guns. Now that sounds funny if you walk out alive, right? Maybe. Maybe not. What?
They walked out alive.
Two walked out and the third remained. And they came back to Yeshiva and told me and said, "We left him there. He was busy shooting people with his water gun." Right. We don't know how he got out alive. It wasn't here, and it was Purim, I think, day, but I don't remember. This goes back a few years. It wasn't this yeshiva, but that's Bitachon.
He came out alive.
He came out alive, right? So that must prove it, right? Yes.
No, because he wasn't harming anyone. You were just making a point.
Yes, no, okay.
We're not condoning this. This is very unwise.
Yes.
So if God's plan is going to go to realization anyway, then why do you have to mention, why do you have to involve God in this at all?
Let's hear the Chazon Ish. We haven't heard him yet. Let's hear. Ve'en hora zo bebitachon nechona. And this description of what bitachon is, this description is not correct. So long as a prophet hasn't come and told you this is what's happening, you don't know what's going to happen. You just don't know. Who knows Hashem's decisions? Why this will happen, that won't happen? Who can forecast and tell you, "I know why God does things and I know when He will and when He won't"? We don't know. We don't know how to forecast, and even the prophets didn't always know. God tells Moshe Rabbeinu, "Go back to Egypt, take the Jews out of Egypt." Moshe goes, and he almost dies on the way. But wait a second, God told him to go, right? Did God tell him not to circumcise his kid? So he leaves Midian, goes to Egypt, and he's traveling. God just told him to go, right? But that doesn't mean that he's absolved from his responsibility to his own children, to his own family, to circumcise his own son. So he detains circumcising his son, and en route he almost dies. So you'd think the most certain a person can be that things are going to be okay is Moshe Rabbeinu. Hashem just spent 7 days telling him, "Go back to Egypt." And Moshe says, "No, send someone else." And Hashem says, "Go." And Moshe says, "Please send someone else." 7 days this is going on. Until finally Hashem says, "I'm telling you to go, and if you don't go because you want to, I will take control of your feet and make you go." So Moshe says, "Okay, you're the boss. You say I should go, I'll go, fine. If that's it, fine." So Moshe goes. And then en route, a snake comes and swallows him, half of his body alive. And he almost dies. Gee, did Moshe know that was waiting around the corner? No. Avram is told, "Go to Canaan." He goes to Canaan. Next thing he knows, his wife's abducted. He's lost all his money. Could he have forecasted that? He didn't know. See, even giants like Avram Avinu, Yitzhak Avinu, Yaakov Avinu, Moshe Rabbeinu, they don't know what life has in store for them. When Yaakov Avinu left his parents' house, he thought he was going to find a wife, right? And then he finds himself spending 20 years in the cold. It says 20 years he didn't have a normal night's sleep. At 34 years, actually. One night's sleep, that's all he had. 14 years in yeshiva, he didn't go to sleep. And then he slept one night, had a dream, and then the next 20 years he spent working, and he would never allow himself to have a deep sleep because he was always in charge of the sheep. So he'd spend the night in the cold and the day in the desert sun. Did he know this was what he was headed for? No. So says the Chazon Ish, unless you have prophecy, you don't know what's waiting. And no one really understands why Hashem does things the way he does in this world. We look at the world and we try to make a certain sense of it, and yet we don't know to anticipate Hashem's next move. We don't know. We do the best we can, and we still don't know. Aval inyan ha-bitachon. So what does the word bitachon really mean? Hu ha-imun she'en mikre ba'olam. That's after you've built chapter 1, the concept of emunah. There is a creator. Then chapter 2, the concept of bitachon is that there is nothing coincidental. V'chol ha-nasa tachat ha-shemesh, ha-kol b'chaza mi'ito yitbarach. And anything that's happening down here is because he said it should be so. So I think we have to pause here. We have to digest what he just said, even though he's going to modify it. Let's digest that and pick up here next time. We haven't finished the thought. We have a way to go. He's going to spend the next few pages defining and honing the concept. We're not done. But what we just did was so important, I don't think we should go on. So, bitachon, step one in the definition of bitachon is the idea that Hashem is in charge of what's going on down here, and nothing is coincidental. Obviously, he's referring to the times where it doesn't feel that way. He's referring to the times where our instincts say, where was Hashem on Monday, two weeks ago? It's Tuesday morning, not Monday. Rabbanu Shel Olam, you wanted those people to die? Right? You look at it and you say, wait, that's Hashem? I thought that was wait a second. Tuesday morning, right? You guys know Tuesday morning? Shul Bnei Torah. Two Arabs walked in, murdered a few Jews. You look at that and you say, wait, my bitachon means that Hashem was there? So we need to work on that. We're not done. We just started. But the first thing the Chazon Ish did, which was very important, was the Chazon Ish told us, bitachon does not mean that I am confident that the outcome will be good. What bitachon does mean, and we started the definition, we're going to still define it better, what bitachon does mean is that Hashem is in control of what goes on in the world. Where, obviously, we're discussing the situations where it doesn't feel that way. And we're not done yet. I'm not saying we've reached the definition of bitachon. We've just read sentence number one. We still have about 10 paragraphs to go defining the term bitachon. We're not done. So don't take this crass, incomplete definition and walk away thinking we understand what bitachon is, because we don't. We're not yet there. To be continued, Ms.